The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take your Bibles and go with me, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and I want to read from verse 10. I've called this foundation message today, Encounters of a Heavenly Kind. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, same, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia. Verse 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt around or about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet were like undefined brass, or as you would say brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. How many have ever seen the sun at noonday? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, and the candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches, which I won't get into that today. I want you to notice verse 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Amplified says, I was in the Spirit, wrapped in His power. Hallelujah. Wrapped in His power. Then go down to verse 12. Then I turned to see whose was the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstand, one like unto the Son of Man. He was seeing Jesus, clothed with a robe which reached down to his feet, and with a girdle of gold about his breast. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes, watch this now, flashed like a flame of fire. See, people ask me, where do you get all this fire from in the Scripture? I mean, basically, I just happen to read. It's not hard. His feet glowed like burnished bright bronze as it is refined in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars. From his mouth came forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full power at midday. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And different translations talk about his face was shining like the brightness of the blinding sun. Says that His feet were gleaming like bright metal, as though they were glowing in a fire. His voice was like the roar of many rushing waters. His eyes were like flames of fire. Now, maybe you didn't grow up like I did. I grew up in Pentecost, but you grew up in a nominal traditional church. It's very hard for ministers to even understand this, even when they read the scripture, to try to conceptualize what it's actually like to see Jesus, to have an encounter with God, the creator of heaven and earth. I think one of the things that shocked me to the core, that Hollywood and all of its music and movie-making abilities has done nothing of the scripture, nothing. While they can create a fantasy world, they've done nothing to portray, and I can only say it must be they don't want to go there, because if they do, then they have to worship. Hallelujah. It's fine to build temples to a mouse. It's fine to build temples to some Disney creation, some fantasy thing with a tail that talks. But when you come to the scripture and you begin to look at it, I still, the great movie makers in Hollywood have never come. I mean, just the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal would be a blockbuster movie. Outrunning a chariot of horses. I mean, where do you want to go with this? Look at the botch-up job they did on Noah. Are you with me? I mean, the closest portrayal, and even Christians, the Christian movies are terrible. They are so hokey. They're the worst things on the planet. Nothing of the power of God. You cannot talk about God and make him like some... And I don't want to get on something here, but I mean, I went to the Museum of the Bible. I tell you, I was fit to be tired. Let me tell you right now. I wanted to take a whip and beat everything in there, turn over everything. There is nothing of my Heavenly Father manifest there, but a religious image is portrayed. But I tell you what, if people think that they can keep pushing down the supernatural and pushing down the power of God and making the word of God of none effect because of their tradition, let me tell you, they're smoking some incredibly bad weed. I got news for you. God is raising up an army of men and women in this hour. Those that know their God will do exploits in his name. People that have seen Jesus as he really is, and that fire from him will come to them, and they will not broadcasto brabande bracando requiste. They will come totally. There will be a clash. It will be between the forces of darkness and light. It will be the showdown between good and evil. Let me tell you right now, and we are heading towards that. And the only way that's going to take place is with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Without the fire of the Holy Ghost, you will capitulate. You will throw in the towel. You will quit. You will acquiesce. You will join forces with the wicked to save your own skin. So when you hear them talking about God, you know they don't know him because of the way they speak about him. When they speak about the Holy Spirit, you know they don't know the Holy Spirit. Because if they knew the Holy Spirit, they couldn't talk about him the way that they do. And you know they don't really know Jesus, because it's impossible to know Jesus and just be the same. See, the devil knew he couldn't stop anything, but if he could confine it, if he could contain it. I mean, I don't want to jump into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but I mean, no, just listen to this. Okay. I mean, I'll show you. Just look at this. in Revelation chapter 4. This is not where I was going here, but I just want to throw this out. In the Amplified, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place in the future. At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in the heaven, and one seated on the throne. And he who sat there appeared like the crystalline brightness of jasper and the fiery sardis. And encircling the throne, there was a halo that looked like a rainbow of emeralds. And then it goes talking about the 24 other thrones. And they were arrayed in white clothing with crowns of gold upon their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God. There's no movie that could even recreate this. And in front of the throne, there also what looked like a transparent glassy sea, as if crystal. And around the throne, in the center of each side of the throne, were four living creatures who were full of eyes in the front and behind, with intelligence as to what is before and rear of them. The first living creature being was like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third like the face of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, individually having six wings, were full of eyes all over, within, underneath their wings. And day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, who was and who is and is to come. And then goes on. So people are not really ready. I think their first moments on the other side will just be on your face to cry, holy, holy, holy. This is why the devil hates meetings like this. He hates Holy Ghost meetings. He hates when you talk about the power of the Holy Spirit today. Yeah. He'd rather you say that was for the days of the apostle. But I got news for you. It's for today. Amen. It's for today. Hallelujah. It's for today. God would not give the early church something that he would not give you and I. Even the book of Acts declares, the promise is unto you and to your children and all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's including every single person here in this room today. And I understand that there are many here today that have had an encounter with God. People were saved miraculously. People were on their way to hell. And then there was a divine interruption of their way of life. There was an encounter of a heavenly kind. How many could say with the uplifted hand, Pastor, I had an encounter of a heavenly kind? Yeah. But as you begin to travel and you begin to move around, you find there are many that have no even understanding. They didn't even know that it was available. They read the scripture, but it seems far off. It seems something away, like some kind of a fairy tale. Yet they'll gravitate towards anything in the natural, any experience, any amusement park, the latest rides, something that they're going to go and do, the latest movie, something that Hollywood could put out, but they don't understand. Something happens when you come into the presence of Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. Something happens when you come in and ye brocando, he comes and manifests himself to you and he becomes real to you. It's something that will grab a hold of your life that the years of time will not be able to take away. It does not matter who you are or where you're from. When he comes and he touches you, your whole life will never be the same again. And the Lord is gracious to us. He doesn't just come and do it all at one time. Otherwise, we'd all go to heaven immediately. He gives us what we can handle. But you're the one that chooses. I know people look at me like I'm special because the fire fell on me 40 years ago. Please. I got desperate. I got hungry. And you've heard my testimony, saved at the age of 5, baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was 8. But in 1978, my oldest brother passed away. I have two older brothers, one 14 years older than me, who's now with the Lord, and one 12 years older than me. I took him out this last week and celebrated his belated 70th birthday, you know. And we just had a great night. I met him there at about 6 o'clock, and we left about 11:30. And he said, now because I call him big brother, he calls me little brother. He said, hey, little brother, I'll take you here for your 70th. But he said, you probably have to chew my steak for me at that time. You know? So it was just hilarious. But so my oldest brother went home to be with the Lord, and it wasn't something that was, a long-term thing. It was a chemical that got into his system, carbon tetrachloride that got into his system, he didn't know, that caused leukemia. So from totally healthy to dead in 6 months. So that devastated all of us, and I can remember standing at his deathbed with my older brother at that time, and we prayed for him to be raised from the dead, you know. And it was like the Lord said to us, said he didn't want to come back, which you can't blame anybody. If I cross over right now, you ain't getting me back. You can pray all you want to. It would take Jesus having to say, you have to go back now, you have no choice. But I'm not stupid. Once you get there, that's it, man. Are you with me? And don't look at me like that, because some of you would do the exact same thing. Are you with me? Like, who would actually want to come back? Are you with me? Think about it. I'm only here so we can do the work that God's called us to do. But I don't have, somebody said, well, you must have a bucket list of things. To be totally frank with you, the Lord has blessed me. I've pretty much done everything I ever wanted to do. I mean, if whatever I do is a bonus, I'll just tell you that. So there's nothing, you know, before I die, I'd like to go there. Before I die. Because when you die, you're not dead. That's what people don't understand. Plus, there's the millennial reign of Christ. I'm coming back for 1,000 years with Christ. We're going to rule and reign with him. And we're going to have a glorified body. We'll be able to move around the planet and do whatever. So I ain't, you know. But if you're just a natural person and you don't even know that there is a heaven, and, you know, you think, well, maybe I have to go to purgatory and burn for 500 years to pay for my sin. Well, then we have to tell you, you don't. Jesus died so you could be free. You don't have to go to any purgatory. Are you with me? But I stood at my brother's deathbed, and I made a vow, and I said, and I'm just like that, you know, I don't know, these things come naturally to me. I'm like a person, you know, to push me into a corner, you know, I'll be easy along, but you push me in a corner, I'm coming out. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I said to the devil, you will rue the day that you touched my older brother. And then I said, I make a vow today, and I said this, people will laugh at you all over, around the world. They're going to laugh at you. I didn't even know God would give us a ministry of joy. I did not know that. It was only later on when I realized that the Lord gave me a ministry of joy. But I made that vow in August of 1978. But that event triggered something on the inside of me that was a hunger and a desperation. 1978, I mean, I played every kind of sport. I was involved in everything you can imagine. You know, when he went home in August, I lost interest in about everything. I just locked myself in my room with my Bible and just for hours and just, you know, just like really pressing in, getting desperate and hungry for God. And just crying out because I knew God had called me to ministry and I knew that I had to go with the fire, because how are you going to go into the ministry if you don't have the fire? I'd met many preachers that I didn't think they had any fire. I thought, you know, they give a good message, they give a good talk, but surely there has to be something more. Are you with me? It's not about a nice message or one-liners with hashtags that you see today. It's about what's being imparted, not from minds to other minds, not mentally from one mind to another mind, spiritually, what's being imparted, what's being transferred, spirit to spirit. Things that which you receive mentally can go as other things come. How many have forgotten some of the stuff that you learned? Who's forgotten some of the things that you knew? You know, I knew that at one time. Huh? And, you know, the problem is some of you blame it on a senior moment, but you're actually not even that senior. So that doesn't even fly. Are you with me? I'm having a senior moment. No, you're still young. It's got nothing to do with that. But what comes into the spirit of man, what comes into the hearts of man, is something that will never be lost. That's why I try to tell people if they're having a problem in their mind and stuff, I said, get out of your head. Start living out of your spirit. Amen. Somebody says, yeah, but I can't remember. There's some things, just thank God you don't remember. You know what I mean? Just live out of your spirit. Learn to live out of your inner man. Can you say amen? And, you know, I'm of the mind that if I can't remember it, it couldn't have been that important anyway. So it doesn't really matter. And then if I'm supposed to remember, the Lord will bring it back to my memory, what I'm supposed to remember. Otherwise, I'm not going to sit worrying about the fact that I can't remember what the thing was that I couldn't remember what it was. Don't clutter yourself with details. Fill your spirit with the word of God. So I got hungry, I got desperate. Now, of course, my critics have used this against me because they said that I threatened the Lord. First of all, you don't threaten God. You read what I read in Revelation, you're going to get somewhere and stand in front of him and threaten him? Really? You must be on crack. Or then the critics say, Howard Brown was suicidal. First of all, I've never been suicidal. Never ever had thoughts of suicide. I was desperate. And I was thirsty and I was hungry. And I prayed when I came down. And desperation doesn't come overnight. It's not something like you go to me, you know, I'm going to get hungry. I think I'm going to get desperate. And then I want everything God has for me. And then you get mad because you didn't get it because you went to the service. This is not a drive-through where you pull up to the window and make an order. Give me three shakes and I'll take a roll. Spiritual appetite is not something that you just sit here, well, you know, I'm hungry for God. No, I can promise you there's somebody down the road from you that's a little bit more hungry than what you are. Yeah. Who's helped me tell the... You heard me tell the story. We were in some podunk holler place. I think you guys were with me. I can't remember. Back in them early days. And there was a hotel. There was no other restaurant in town, but they had a Shoney's. Remember? And so you stay there, and then you go for breakfast at Shoney's. Anybody been to breakfast at Shoney's? All right. So anyway, so I go down. I don't know if you won that trip with me or whatever, Brother Richard, but Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I looked out of the window, and there was a homeless man, and he was pushing a cart, like a shopping cart. And he had this huge coat on him. And he had the cart filled with stuff that I looked at and thought, this is rubbish, you know. But he was collecting what he found. And obviously, I didn't know if he sold things as scrap or what he did. But I didn't obviously think that there was anything of worth. But, you know, when you have nothing, then anything's worth something. Are you with me? And so I could see him. He was pushing by, and he looked through the window. So I thought, man, he's probably hungry, because I was hungry for breakfast, but I thought he must be hungrier than I am. So I thought, let me get, I'm going to go out, I'm going to bring him in, and I'm going to feed him breakfast. So I went outside and said, sir, come here, I want to feed you some breakfast here. So we walked into the Shoney's, and the manager saw me coming with him. I said, no, he's fine, he's on me, I'll pay for him, and he's going to eat breakfast here today. And the manager, like, I said, look, I'll give you double. Like, whatever, all you can eat buffet, I'll give you double for that. And he moaned. I said, I'll give you three times as much. Just don't worry about it. You know, whatever you want, I'll give, let him eat. So I went and sat down, and he had this big beard. I mean, only the Lord knows. He didn't really talk much. He just kind of nodded and thanked me. He didn't really say anything. And then I went and sat down. I was watching him, and he came, he took the plate, and he went to the buffet, and he loaded up. It must have looked like 45 pieces of bacon, like he piled the plate with bacon. Then he piled the plate with eggs. Then he piled the plate with hash browns, and he piled the plate with toast. I have never seen anybody in my life pile so much food on a plate. I didn't even know you could get that much food on a plate. And everybody in the restaurant stayed away. They were like standing away, just like, you know. It's a wonder he didn't just pick up the trays and go to his table. He went and sat down, and he began to eat. And he ate. He inhaled everything on that plate. Then he went back for seconds. And while I was watching that, the Lord said to me, there's degrees of hunger. There are degrees of hunger. Because I grabbed a couple of eggs and two pieces of bacon and some bread, and that was it. You know, I was done. He inhaled everything. He must have eaten maybe several dozen. I don't know what he had, but I'd never seen anybody eat that much. It was probably like a 18,000 calorie meal or something. So I really had to slip money into the manager's hands, you know, because he wasn't happy. But I learned a lesson. There's degrees of hunger. Some people are hungry, other people are not. Some people are desperate, other people are not. Some people are thirsty, other people are not. And so from August of 1978, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, and then into July of 1979. This month will be 40 years. 40 years ago. It was over those months of desperation, crying out to the Lord, lying on your bed, God, just crying out to him, I need your fire. And I still remember on the day that the Lord touched me, that night the Lord touched me, was on a bus with about 18 young people. We were actually at a conference that was the groundwork for the dismantling of apartheid in Southern Africa. And I was representing my high school because I was in the final year of the high school. I actually worked with Youth for Christ, which was a Billy Graham organization. And I went as a representative. I ran that organization in the area called the Transkei. And so I went as a representative. So I'm on this bus, and we're staying at a campgrounds about an hour away. And this was not a Holy Ghost meeting. These were, you know, plenary sessions and workshops, and different people were speaking. Bishop Tutu was speaking. There were many different Anglican, Methodist, Dutch Reformed, you know, really. I didn't think there was any charismatic or Pentecostal there. But, you know, and I worked amongst every group. I've never been closed. people are close to me, but I'm not close to the body of Christ. You know, if somebody just wants to baptize with water and that's it, hey, I'll take him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not going to, I mean, somebody say, I don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's fine. As long as he doesn't stop me, we're fine. Are you with me? I'm never being closed. Somebody said, well, you know, they're not really baptized in the Holy Spirit. Who cares? Who cares? Do they love Jesus? Yes. Then we work with them.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So, you know, if they'll work with me, I'll work with them. I don't have a problem with that. And so on the bus, there were all these young people, and we are driving backwards. It's an hour to go to the campgrounds where we were staying, which was the Youth for Christ headquarters in Southern Africa. And so they got dormitories and everything over there. And of course, January the 1st, that's what I went. I went and joined them and became part of a band. And I was the lead guitarist in the band. And we traveled. We did over 150,000 kilometers. We preached 3-4 meetings a day. We were in schools, retirement homes. We were in military bases. We were everywhere, all across Southern Africa into Namibia, right up into the border areas where there was conflict between, you know, South Africa at that time and Angola. You know, I was preaching, we were praying for military people. They're getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. And of course, when I joined the group, when I joined them, there were 54 young people, and 4 of them were baptized in the Holy Ghost. 3 months later, 40 were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't push anything. I just started a prayer meeting in the bus at the end of a field every night. And I just go in the back and just praying in the bus. And I felt the bus move, and then I could see people were kneeling and stuff, and people just started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, I will confess that I wrecked that organization. The year after 1980, it was no longer a Baptist organization. It was totally open to the Holy Ghost. It had no choice. Everybody got smacked, you know. So, and then we were casting devils out in Methodist churches. And but anyway, let me move back just to the previous year. So you build up this hunger, this thirst, this crying out for God. So here I am on this bus, and there's a whole bunch of girls from a high school in Grahamstown, which, you know, that's what you do. If you're 18 and you hang around all these girls, I mean, because that's what 18-year-old people do, you know. So, I mean, I read that scripture, blessed art thou amongst women. So I just hang out with all these girls in the bus. We were driving back, and this was an Anglican high school. It was not a Pentecostal. This was an Anglican high school for girls. And so I just said that we're going to pray. We're going to pray all the way back, and we will use these times to pray. You know, because that's what you do. If you're Pentecostal, you pray. That's the quickest way to get people under the anointing, is just that we're going to pray, you know. And so it was on one of those, maybe this Tuesday of the week, 40 years ago now, this month, and could even be this week. Because I can't really remember the days. I actually think, well, it was from about the 8th through the 15th. So we just passed that time. You know, if we go back last week, it was probably more on the exact 40th year of it taking place. But this month is very significant for me nonetheless. And so I made the decision that, for whatever reason, that tonight is my night. But why that night? I don't know. No one told me tonight's your night. No one said tonight's your night. I made a decision. Tonight is my night. And I was so desperate and so hungry that I even said to the Lord, I said, Lord, either you come down and touch me tonight, or I'm coming up there to touch you. Now, of course, the critics look at it like you threatened the Lord. You can't threaten God. Are you with me? It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. I wasn't threatening the Lord at all. I mean, the way God could do things, he could come down and touch you, and then you'd be with him anyway. If you don't believe it, go look what happened to Enoch. Huh? Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him. So don't come tell me. You know what I mean? Somebody said, what happened to Enoch? Well, he just was walking with the Lord so much that the Lord just took him. Moses, go look where Moses, they can't even find the body of Moses. Moses disappeared. Huh? Go look at Elijah. What do you think happened to Elijah? You think they buried him somewhere? Huh? No. No, they didn't bury him anywhere. He was talking to Elisha, and a fiery chariot came and parted them asunder, and he went up in a whirlwind. Glory to God. So, you know, we know Moses and we know Enoch and we know Elijah. I mean, you go look at the Mount of Transfiguration. I'll get into that this week. But they, you know, who did they see? Moses and Elijah talking. You know, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And that's typical of man. The moment God moves, then they want to build some kind of a denominational group. That's why we're so careful here at the river, because the moment you build something to where you feel like you're the only ones that have it, or you have control of it, first of all, you, no one controls the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost goes where he's wanted. The Holy Ghost only comes. He only comes to the hungry. He only comes to the thirsty. The moment you feel like you know everything, he will move, he will go down the road, he will find people, he will bring them out of obscurity. No one owns the anointing. You do not have any control. You can try to control, you can build the denomination, you can put the rules and the regulations. But let me tell you, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. These same eyes that are like flames of fire, these eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God is looking for people that he can show himself strong in their behalf. And I'm so glad that 40 years ago, this month of July, that his eyes came and found me. And so I just started to pray, you know, son, sit there and pray nice prayers. Father, as we gathered here this place, Lord, I'm so hungry, God, that thou wouldst reach down thy hand and come and touch me, Lord, and draw me nearer, Lord, to thee this day, oh God. You know, I mean, it was past that. God, I want your fire. I nearly frightened everybody in the place. The little Anglican Methodist people, they don't pray like that. Anglicans and Methodists, you don't pray. God, I want your fire. I shouted at the top of my lungs. I shouted so hard, my voice started to go. How many have shouted that you lost your voice? It was like that. I often say, I shouted so hard and my voice got hoarse. I nearly got on the horse and rode away. That doesn't translate well into the other languages. So, you know, you try telling that in Japan. Yeah. I shouted that my voice got hoarse and I nearly got on the horse and rode away. Japanese people just look at you like. So some of the things I've had to change because they don't translate that well. God! I want your fire!
Hallelujah.
God! I want your fire! And I probably shouted, it must have been close to 20 minutes. And then the most amazing thing happened. It was like somebody took gasoline and poured it over my whole body and then took a match and set it on fire from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. It was like electricity. It was like pins and needles, but not pins and needles. Pins and needles are uncomfortable. This was, but like pins and needles. That's the only way I can explain it. It was running through my whole being from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And instantaneously, like you would snap your fingers, I was beside myself. I was laughing uncontrollably and I was weeping uncontrollably at the same time. How do you laugh and cry at the same time? But that is actually, listen to me, that's a natural response. How many in this room have ever laughed and cried at the same time? Wave your hand. And I'm talking about outside the church. It's got nothing to do with God. Are you with me? That's a natural response for somebody to be overwhelmed with the laugh and the cry. I laughed and I cried and I spoke in other tongues. And I thought this would be about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. But no, 1 hour went by, 2 hours went by, 3 hours went by, 4 hours went by, 5 hours went by, 6 hours went by. And of course, I just grabbed everybody on the bus. I started laying my hands on them. They were falling under the power. The bus pulled up at the headquarters. The bodies were lying down the aisle. They were lying down the stairs. You know, when you walk down a bus, there were people lying down the stairs. There were people lying on the grass. And I thought, it will ease off of me if I can just get it from me. But it didn't. It got stronger. And people were overcome. And I only found that out several years later because Adonik and I took a couple into our house. They were going to go to England as missionaries. And we were sitting around in the living room talking about revival and the anointing. And they said, well, how did you come into it? And I talked about the fire of what fell on me yes. I talked about the fire that came on me, July 79. And the young lady, she said, I was there. I was on the bus. She was part of the team that came from the city of Grahamstown. Her daughters actually come here and graduated RBI. And they live in England now. And she said, what you don't know was we went back and a revival hit our high school that went for 3 years. Well, sure, it had nothing to do with me. I mean, I just was like a stick of wood that lit the fire, and they went back, and all these girls had just hit for 3 years. That's why people don't understand what this is. This is not just about the moment where you're in the meeting and you fall on the ground, and everybody goes, oh, I wonder what that's going to do. It's about what God's going to do with you in the days and weeks and months to come, and what the Lord's going to do through your life to touch the lives of other people, and in actual fact, impact whole nations. The devil hates this. He wants to calm you down. Calm down now. Calm down. Don't go overboard now. Come on, calm down. If you're going to be accepted amongst these quarters, you're going to have to change some of your vernacular. You have to change some of your speech, and you've been around that river too much. Who do you think you are? Which is what you'll hear commonly. When the fire comes, it burns out all the dross. It burns out everything that's been holding you back.
Yes.
The fear of man that brings a snare. And it's almost like Jeremiah saying, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. But an angel took a coal from off the altar and placed it on his lips. And immediately he had a conversation with God. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto his people. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Even today, this very Sunday morning, can be the day when you step out of the natural into the realm of the supernatural. Today, this very Sunday morning, I know everybody thinks we start tonight. We actually don't. For whatever reason, everybody in the ministry thinks that this meeting only starts Sunday night. It does not. It starts Sunday morning. It doesn't matter how many years I tell them. We're starting Sunday morning. They always think it starts Sunday night. This day could be the day that you have an encounter of the heavenly kind that sets you apart for the rest of your days, for you to function in what God's called you to do. And there won't be a sweat. There won't be any striving to it. You know, people think that I sit and strive and work. You see, I just do. You get up every day and just keep doing what you're doing, and God keeps doing what he does. Are you with me? It's not like sitting, oh, scratch my head. I've got to come up with some kind of a plan or idea. The Holy Ghost has many plans and many ideas, and these plans and these ideas will come with the assignment and the call. And that's what the fire is there for. It's for the assignment, the call over your life, whether you're in the ministry or not in the ministry. That doesn't even matter. God did not make this available just for people in the ministry. This is available for every single believer, every mother, every father, every grandparent, every grandchild, every daughter, every son, for every single person. His power, His anointing is not just there for a service. It's there for service. It's there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's not coming, it's here. We don't need the Holy Spirit. Oh, if only He would come again like He did. He already did. He already did. We don't need Him to come again. He already did. You just have to get a hold of Him. You. It was like I was just going to make so much noise that the Lord just, please get him out of his misery. Please. He's making so much noise down there. Boom! And then suddenly, hallelujah. 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 That's why we're running to 300 cities of the world right now. The Lord said, run to 300 cities with the message of Pentecost and bring the people. For so many have become seeker sensitive. So many are trying to become acceptable. And so many are trying to push the Holy Spirit into some back room somewhere, lest that if He came out, that people would be offended. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter where we go. We have government leaders. We have people running for president of their country. They come to the meeting. I don't change one thing. We don't water one thing down. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, that's what's going to shake our nation. That's what's going to shake America. That's what's going to shake every country represented here. God doesn't need many people. He just needs one person, one individual that's hungry, one person that's thirsty. And then He'll come. At the same time, that fire will come, burn out cancer out of your body, burn out every kind of disease, burn out sickness and disease, burn out every bit of oppression, depression, fear, bondage. Anything. Remember, a fly cannot sit on a hot plate. Somebody said, Pastor, I had a couple of flies sit on me. Yeah, because you went into cooling mode. But today, we turn up the heat. Today, we turn up the heat. And really, in reality, it all starts with attitudes, basically. Trust me, these 40 years, I've been through many things. Things I'll tell you about, and some things I'll never tell you about. Hallelujah. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost and fire. This whole week, between now and next Sunday night, so when the fire fell on me that way, I actually realized at that moment, why are we going to have a glorified body? Because you don't know what to do with it. You don't know what to do with it. And there's only so much your body can take. And people call it slain in the spirit, but it's not. That's falling under the power. Ananias and Sapphira were slain in the spirit. That's terrible. If you get slain in the spirit, that means you're dead. So we don't want anybody to be slain in the spirit. But falling under the power or overcome by the presence of the Holy Spirit. John said, I saw him and I fell at his feet as dead. He wasn't dead, but he fell like he was dead. That just means your body goes, your body goes tilt. Like a pinball machine. When you shook it too hard, it won't work anymore. Your body just goes. You get in the presence of creative heaven and it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. 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 The fire of God is falling in this room this morning. The fire of God is falling in this place. Somebody said, well, I'm a little afraid if it falls on me, what will people think about me? When the fire falls on you to where you don't care what other people think about you, then you'll know the fire fell on you. As long as you worried about what other people think. I stopped worrying years ago about what other people think. I realized many people don't even think. So I stopped worrying a long time ago. I only care about what God thinks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the natural comes into contact with the supernatural, something is going to give way. So let me ask you a question. How hungry are you? Not for a manifestation. For God. We don't seek the manifestation. We seek the manifestor. We don't seek the healing. We seek the healer. We don't seek the provision. We seek the provider. How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? How desperate are you? The Lord said to me, you have to get thirsty for me like a man that's been in the desert for 3 days. No water. His lips are parched and bleeding. His tongue is stuck to the roof of his mouth. He's walking. All he's going around going, water. He's American. It's water. 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 She's South African. Water. 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 If somebody showed up with a briefcase and it opened up and there's $1 million cash in there, he would knock the man out of the way. He would knock the money out of the way and go, water, water. It comes a time when that means nothing to you, what's in the briefcase. You need water. You need water. There comes a time when there's nothing else that you need. All you need is Jesus. All you want is Him. You're not looking for fame. You're not looking for fortune. You're not looking for the accolades of man. You're not looking to receive some commitment and some award or whatever. You don't really care. You're just hungry. You're just thirsty. You just want Him. You want Him more than life itself. Life means nothing to you. Are you with me? When you get hungry, He will come. He will visit you. He will come to your house. He will find you where you live. You might live alone. He will come into your house. He will raise you up. He will bring you out of the pit. He will bring you out of the dunghill. He will raise you up for the glory. For the glory of God that shall be made manifest through your life. You say, but Pastor, I've been through this. I've been through that. Yes, but you've got to come through this and bring the transformation in your life. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the fire of God all over this place. My greatest desire for this church, for the people of the River Church, for the people that are here today, is that every single one of you would have an encounter with God. Whether you receive it here in the service, that's one thing, but even when you go home from this place, when you go lie on your bed, when you're in your private moments, that you would cry out to the Lord and that He would come and He would touch you. Don't worry about the noise. These are people. You can't go to one of the amusement parks and see if you get by a roller coaster and nobody's making any noise. We talk about greater than any natural experience. We talk about individuals encountering God. I know many ministers, they get nervous because they want to control everything. You can't. You can't control one thing. I can't get hungry for you. I can't get thirsty for you. I'm just here to tell you what's on the menu. You're the one that places the order. I've had ministers tell me over the years, you can't have a church that has the fire of God on a Sunday morning. You cannot have it. We're 22 and a half years into this, and I will say, yes, you can. But it's not just about the church. It's about the 4,000 graduates. It's about the people that have come through here. It's about the hundreds of ministries that are now circling the globe. It's about individuals that are now doing mass crusades in the foreign fields. It's about all the new churches that are springing up. I look at it this way, and I'll close my message and we'll carry on tonight. But I look at it this way. It's like a cattle farmer. A cattle farmer will take those new calves, and amongst other things, they will brand them. That everyone that will see them will know they are of that Circle K ranch or whatever. Are you with me? And that's what the fire of the Holy Ghost is for. So that no matter where you go, everyone will see that you've been branded by heaven. Because you carry heaven's brand. You carry the flame. You carry heaven's flame. And many want to steal somebody else's flame. There's a flame for your name. And when it touches you, you'll never be the same. And all the plans of hell will go down the drain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Now, during the course of the week, we'll be praying for people, but let me tell you, it's not about me just lining people up and, you know, everybody lying on the ground. I prayed for many people over the years, you know. Literally, many, 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 many. It's about that hunger. So somebody said, pray for me, I need the fire. I pray you get hungry. I pray you get hungry for God. Because when you get hungry for God, you'll get the fire. Hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty. Desperate. Hungry and thirsty. It's got nothing to do with a meeting. I wasn't touched in a meeting. Some of you might have to go from the meeting to go get touched. So you can go have a meeting. Because you're so busy focused on the meeting, you can't have a meeting. I was up in my office before the service, and I heard you singing, sound check, And I said, open that door. And they opened the door and I was gone. In the sound check. I was meeting with the dean and his wife. I said, this is like Holy Ghost tres leches for me. I said, people think I pick the songs for them. I pick it for me. I was sitting up in my office, totally smashed. And he was just doing a sound check. And one of the strings is out of tune on the violins or something. I heard it upstairs. Tell him to tune the instruments. I can hear with my ear. You can't hear it in the building, it's Mars, but when you watch online, you can hear. I want people flying in here with a parking lot, running the instrument, and then the thing's out of tune. Might as well bring an Aflac duck in here and squeeze the thing's head. You don't have to be a violinist or celloist to know when something's out of tune. Amen. Hallelujah. I want everybody to bow your heads across this place. These only ones moving are the ushers, please. Today, as you've come in this place, even those watching by way of television, I want to give an invitation. Maybe a friend brought you, came here for the first time. And as you're sitting here today, you know that you don't know Jesus. But today you want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. What is so important to realize that the Bible declares, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The Word of God declares it's appointed and a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have walked in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today, Jesus stands with arms wide open, and He says, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you surrender to Him today? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? He loves you so much. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost that first love. You lost that passion that you once had. But today you say, I'm coming back. Today, I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Will you do that? Will you say, Lord, please? Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that clog the heart of man. Your wife doesn't know, your husband doesn't know, your children don't know, your parents don't know. No one knows, and you've never dealt with it. because you feel safe and secure in the privacy of your own imagination. But today you say, I want it gone. I want it gone from my life. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe something outward that everyone can see. And now the enemy uses against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. The devil's a liar and God's a God of a second chance. God's a God of a new beginning. And today you can surrender your life afresh. And today he will restore you. Today he will revive you. You say, but I've wasted many years. The scripture declares that he shall restore to you the years of the locust of Eden, the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the palmer worm. He will come and restore to you. God can make the next 3 years be as 30 years. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. A sudden divorce. A bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. The Bible in Revelation chapter 3 talks of three temperatures, hot, lukewarm, or cold. This is not the hour, definitely not the hour to be cold, and it's sure not the hour to be lukewarm. And he can set your heart ablaze today if you'll surrender to him. He loves you. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord. That's not even a question. But as you're sitting there right now, you don't have the assurance that you're saved. You don't know. If it was just you and me in a room and I asked you, if you died right now, do you know where you're going? And you say, I don't have the assurance. I'm not convinced. I do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you would like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died right now, you're going to go be with the Lord, then I want to pray with you as well. If this is you and you fit into any one of these categories, I want you right where you are, quickly, without any hesitation whatsoever, put your hand up and say, pray for me. I need Jesus today. God bless you. 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 All the way to the back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over here. Bless you over there. Bless you over there. Bless you over there. Bless you over here. Quickly raise up high. Let me see it. Every right at the back over there on this far side, God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else, just lift it up high and say yes. You can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me now, everybody. In this section, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray right now, put your hand up. Say, include me. Bless you. Bless you. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Bless you. Anybody else? Bless you. Under the overhang? Bless you. This side, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. I want every person that raised your hand, I want you to stand to your feet. Stand up right now. Everyone that raised your hand. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. All across the building. All across the building. If you're by yourself, I want you to bring your purse of belongings and come to the front. We're going to pray together. Come, 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 come. Today is your day. Come. Come now. Come now. To follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You stay with him. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want every one of you, if you'd look at me for a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. And those that are watching in your homes, as I pray with them, you pray with me. If you don't know him, you want to surrender your life, you can pray together with us. Today, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. And standing here are three groups of people, those that have come for the very first time to surrender your life. Those that have come to come back to that place that you had with the Lord. And then those that have come to make sure. And I've had the privilege now of doing this for 39 and a half years in 78 countries. And I have people that come to me and they will say, Pastor, I prayed with you. And they'll tell me what year, where it was, at an altar, just like this, that they prayed. And then what God's doing with them. So I know what God's about to do with you. You might say, yeah, but you don't know my story. No, I don't, but I know his story. And his story will cancel out your story if you believe today. I'm talking 78 countries, so it's not like the Lord only favors one group of people. He doesn't. He comes to the hungry and he comes to the humble. And so today we're going to pray. And then I'm going to do something at the conclusion of the prayer. I'm going to take you and put you in the hands of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will carry you all the days of your life like he carried me. He's going to carry you. So I want you to close your eyes right now and just raise your right hand to heaven. And those watching in your homes, do that right where you are. Just pray this out loud. After me, say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me, use me, let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. That from this day, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross, and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank Him right now. Now, Father, I pray that You would seal them now by Your blood and by Your Spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. We take every one of them now and we put them into the hands of the Holy Spirit, that You, who begin a good work in them, will finish it. And on that day, every single one of them will hear the words, "Well done, well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant, well done." Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come on everyone right now. I break every bondage, every addiction, everything of hell. It's broken off of you now. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse. I send it right back to a place of origin. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fill them now with the Holy Ghost. Rakambo regesti prepakaya. Just close your eyes and let Him just fill you to overflowing. Just not in your English language or Spanish or German, French or Dutch, whatever. Just let that heavenly language begin to come right out of your belly. He said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Koramba rikatala sombra vienda. Come on, just speak it out. Brokodelian delivrika pasta bravando. Rakandeliste prepe. Rakandeliviso. Brebunderieto. Rangama rangenjingo. Rakandoli saprasi bravo. Mambre best bravonde saprapa. Rangose. Brangoli. Menrose. Brongesto. Mingreca. Mandorista. Oh, randopa. Paripakia, Mengoloso, Mandilivonde, Menanendroso, Brakamba Ricata, Brakanana Dieto, Rakanina Mangoso. Fill, fill with the Holy Ghost, fill with the fire of God. Fuego de Dios, fuego de Dios, le palabra de Dios. Oh, gozo de Dios, rio de Dios. Mas, mas fuego, cobraga, paradanga chico. Paradangan dangol tindo sapa, paradangan dando de bocoso, paradanga bando de bo sapra, rondondo, recapaisto, prequeste prevendo, racandilivoso, sepravondo, paradangi, brovoso. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Now look at me, if you would, please. As a servant of the Most High God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Word of God, and by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, I tell every single one of you right now, your sins are forgiven you right now. Forgiven. Forgiven.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.